we do owe our life's work, both Wall and I, to Emmanuel Velikovsky. There is an obligation on our part, whenever we speak publicly, to acknowledge that we were both, in our completely separate paths of investigation, inspired by Velikovsky, and without that original inspiration, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have come into convergence maybe 10 years ago when Wall and I really connected and we saw that, well, our paths of inquiry were so different, but they led us to precisely the same thing. And so that has meant then a partnership for 10 years now, and Thunderbolts of the Gods is the first full-color presentation growing out of this, but there will be many more to come.
Well, I'm glad you both pay homage to Velikovsky, because during his day, scientists of that era put him down, didn't they?
Oh, did they ever? It was one of the black marks on science, quite frankly, and it is nevertheless easy to understand how this happened, because Velikovsky had written before the space age, and he was suggesting things that were just simply not acceptable to scientists, things that they have never entertained. He was proposing planetary catastrophe, a comet, Venus, electromagnetic forces in the solar system to reconcile his message with the message of science. And none of this was acceptable to scientists. And in fact, his work was the number one bestseller in the country. Published by Macmillan.
Worlds in Collision.
Worlds in Collision was the number one bestseller at the time that Macmillan was forced by pressure from scientists to drop the book. And that really was the beginning of a very controversial episode in the sciences. And the senior editor was fired, James Putnam, after 25 years. And at the same time, the curator of the Hayden Planetarium, who had written an article calling for an open investigation of Velikovsky, it appeared in This Week magazine, and he was summarily fired.
Huh.
So this was a response by science that most of the leading figures in sciences today will recognize was inappropriate, unjust, and not good science.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, because even today, when some scientists will step up and speak out against the causes of global warming, when they say, we believe that this planet is cyclical, this is natural, it's happening, some of them get threatened by losing their jobs.
Well, this is the nature of the beast today. There's a tremendous investment today in scientific ideologies, and there's a great deal of funding involved. We can talk about the Big Bang and other theoretical
sure.
edifices that are part of a dogma today and a funding process in which people's life's work and reputations and their livelihood it will be at stake. So it's an issue for all of science. And when Wall Thornhill talks about the electric universe, everything that you hear involves one of these issues of an alternative way of seeing something that is presented as dogma by science.
Wallace, before we get into some of the theories with you and David, can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit more about Velikovsky, who he was, and his major theory?
Yes, yes, I read his book just after it was published in 1950, and at first I couldn't really believe that all my teachers were wrong, you know, and that Velikovsky could have been right. But after reading it again before entering university, I realized that he had made a strong case, and from what I'd seen up to that point, no one had addressed the issues he'd raised. They'd merely dismissed it or called him names and called it nonsense. And so while I was at university, I spent quite a bit of time reading around the issues and became more and more convinced that he had made a strong case.
How did he do this so far ago?
I think because he was a kind of an intuitive scientist in some respects, because he covered so many different fields and did it quite well. He made obvious mistakes here and there, but he intuitively saw the connections between different fields, and I think that was his big strength. And it's one which I think modern students could learn a big lesson from. In other words, the training that are given to students these days is so narrow that they have no way of making the connections between disciplines.
How did you two, David and Wallace, how did you two get together and then kind of hone in on Velikovsky as really being the catalyst for your theories?
Well, this is actually a very interesting story between us. We met for the first time at a conference that my group had sponsored in 1974. It happened we sat right next to each other, and across from us was David Morrison, a very well-known astronomer today, and this was at a conference on Immanuel Velikovsky and the recent history of the solar system. I talked about my work relating to the planet Saturn, and he talked about his interest in the work of Ralph Jurgens, who was an intimate part of our organization, and publishing in my publication, Immanuel Velikovsky Reconsidered, on the electric sun, electrical scarring of planets and moons, and the electric comet. So we had two completely different interests, and through that whole evening we were talking back and forth. And the doggone thing is, I completely forgot his name. I forgot everything. 20 years later, when we connected at another conference here in Portland, he reminded me that we had had that evening together. And this was actually the beginning of our coming together. There was a convergence between the historical investigation, comparing myths and symbols and ritual practices around the world, between that investigation and Wall Thornhill's investigation of electricity in space. And I had reconstructed these spectacular formations in the sky. These were based on the points of agreement between the different cultures, very precise points of agreement that enabled me to identify things that were seen in the sky in ancient times that are not seen today. And Wall Thornhill came to Portland in December of 1996 to convince me that what I had reconstructed were electrical discharge configurations, and he was very persuasive. He stayed in my office for 30 days over Christmas, leaving his family back in Australia, and then we did a conference together in early January. It was an extraordinary time, and we've been in partnership since then, but that partnership has now expanded to many other independent investigators, and including some specialists who are leaders in their field. So we're very optimistic now that this story is going to be told.